And we're happy to have with us now someone whose story starts, I guess it, well, I'm sure it starts before then, but it goes from the White House all the way to the Georgia World Congress Center in 2011. Jenny Dent Brandt is an educator, counselor, soloist, speaker, and president of Laity Alive and Serving, which her father started in 1985. Now,
famous father,
Harry Dent. Harry Dent. Well, I was about to try to give some of her testimony. We'll let her do that. Jenny, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Jenny, how did you start out at the White House? I mean, what's the connection to the White House?
Well, my father built the Republican Party in the South when there wasn't a Republican Party, and he did it for the cause of freedom. Mm-hmm. He helped Richard Nixon to be elected president and then was added on as one of his presidential aides.
Okay.
So that's how we got to the White House.
Okay. So he was an advisor to...
He was an advisor, yes.
Not many presidents.
Actually, two more after that, but that was more from his home. Nixon was the one where we actually lived and breathed the White House for those 4 years.
Now, Richard Nixon is a name that is not highly regarded in America's political history. As is the case most of the time, I personally don't think he was as bad as he is portrayed to be. He was no angel, but
he made some mistakes.
I think he's like the rest of us. He made some mistakes, and the people who worked for him made some mistakes, and a lot of them got in serious jeopardy over their mistakes. Did your father escape that?
By the hair of his chinny chin chin. Yeah. When you're part of a White House and a presidency that goes down, as this one did in Watergate, it's very scary. Mm-hmm. My dad, when I was 16 years old, I watched ABC World News, and Sam Donaldson said that my father and Chuck Colson ordered the Watergate break-in.
Yeah.
And my dad called right after the program was over from Washington, and he said, "Honey, it's not true, not a word of it. I knew nothing about Watergate, had nothing to do with it. I'll get it straight." 4 weeks later, he flies from Washington home to tell me at a Waffle House that the ship is going down and that even though he knew nothing about Watergate, he might go down with the ship. And I needed to be prepared to take care of my 10-year-old brother and my mother. My mother at that time was suffering from severe depression because of the political life and my dad not being home. She grew up in a home where her mother had alcohol problems. Her father abandoned her at an early age. And so she was already had that deep rooted in her soul. And then when my dad was always with the president, always on a plane, always out of town, always at the White House, she felt abandoned. So we were already dealing with that. And then Watergate came on our doorstep.
Didn't your father try to convince Richard Nixon to come out with the truth? I mean, did he not try to advise him and say, "Look, you need
to"? He did. At Camp David, he went to him and he said, "Look, you are a very popular president right now. You've just been elected by a landslide election. If you will come forth, find out who did what, and come clean and ask the nation's forgiveness, I believe with your popularity they will forgive you." You know, Reagan did it in the next term when the Iran-Contra thing happened.
Yes.
So I think if he had done that, I think the nation might have forgiven him if he hadn't covered up. But his mistake was that he covered up.
Rachel.
And we all tend to do that.
Rachel.
We should.
I call her Rachel. I didn't mean to do that. Jenny, we just talked to Rachel. So sometimes those names, I have trouble hanging on to them. But when they're in there, they bounce around a little bit and then they leave. But anyway, Jenny, your father's compatriot, Chuck Colson, actually went to prison.
He did.
And, of course, his story is very... very much public, front and center. Chuck Colson became a Christian, went to prison, started a ministry when he came out of prison that's one of the most effective ministries to people in prison anywhere in the world.
And he's a modern-day prophet, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes. Well, he said this. John, let me just read you what Chuck Colson had to say. "Have you ever wondered what your daughter thinks about you? You'll be greatly encouraged reading this wonderful book written by the daughter of my great friend, Harry Dent. Jenny talks about her dad in ways that only a daughter could tell, and tells the wonderful story of how God took this political pioneer, leader of the new Republican Party in the South, and turned him into a gentle saint. This was, for me, very moving reading. What does it mean? What did he mean, turns your dad into a very gentle saint?
Well, actually, my husband and I watched. We have been praying for my dad. During Watergate, I realized that my dad trusted more in man and man's ways than God and his ways, and he had brought me up in the church to get to heaven by good works. And when I became a Christian, I began to see that my dad, whom I loved with everything in my heart, was not a Christian. And so that was when I started praying for him with a passion. And we watched, my husband and I, as God transformed him as we were praying from a political strategist to a kingdom strategist, a man who would, in essence, become a missionary of sorts, especially to the country of Romania, and helping them come to freedom after communism. He ended up spending the last 25 years of his life in ministry, full-time ministry, after he forbid his daughter to go to Columbia International University, forbid his daughter, said, "You're going to grow up and be some gosh-awful missionary." Like that was the worst thing I could be. And he, God used him to become, to be the missionary.
Wow. It's amazing.
I'll tell you, your father certainly espoused freedom in this country, and we are having a big problem with that here in this country,
yes,
right?
Sir.
I mean, we need to be fearful. I mean, what's going on in our culture with political freedom and everything else? What's your take on what's going on right now?
Well, my dad and I have been in countries in the world separately in the underground church in China. We helped the country of Romania come to freedom after communism. It was devastating for them. I've been in the deep, dark corners of the Middle East where there was no freedom at all. But you know what I've learned? You can have freedom, spiritual freedom, anywhere, because God cannot be put in a box. However, the fact that my father and I are citizens of a free country enabled us to go all over the world and do ministry. Without that, we wouldn't be able to do that. So those freedoms are important. The most important freedom is spiritual freedom in Christ. But those earthly freedoms are important in order for us to be able to continue to do ministry in the United States. And we are like the frog in the boiling pot, where we are losing it little by little. And the new generation coming up doesn't realize the price that's been paid and what they need to do to keep those freedoms that, as Ronald Reagan said, if we don't continually keep those freedoms, we will one day be telling our children and grandchildren what America was like when men were free. I don't want to be in that position.
Me either.
You say that you believe that there are men and women who will stand for freedom, just as your father did, not out of pride or power, but out of a sense of service to God and the people of this nation. Now, a lot of us are sort of cynical about about that. We see political leaders, even the good ones, there's an element of distrust because they are political and they've risen, and we watched Richard Nixon. We watched all of the intrigue that went on with the administrations since Richard Nixon. Every single administration, there's been a whisper of impropriety somewhere. And of course, President Obama today has his share of critics. Do you think that these people who are willing to stand for freedom are going to come from our political leaders? I mean, do you think that it's going to take political leaders, or is it going to take, is John going to have to do it?
It's going to be everybody. Everybody's going to have to be willing to stand. The voters have to stand and vote for people who will stand for freedom. But my dad was big on, if you were going to run on the Republican ticket when he was Republican Party chairman, you better have your act together, because you represent us. You represent the family values. Don't disappoint us. Today, many politicians are disappointing their constituents and the children of their state by not giving a better example. Now, my dad would be the first to tell you he made some mistakes in the family. He put keeping the president's house in order and the country's house in order ahead of his own family. That's why his wife went under. His children suffered for that. And when he became a Christian and really dedicated his life and studied the Bible as Chuck Colson told him to do and went to the Bible college he told me not to go to, he realized the husband and father he should be. And he came back to us and apologized, became the spiritual leader of his family at a later age in life. But it turned our family around.
See, was he watching you back in, it was back in 1978 when he gave his heart to Christ? You were a Christian?
Yes,
at that
I was.
Point?
I became
so he was
a Christian.
Watching you.
Yes, yes. He was watching everything I did, and my husband and I were praying for him with a passion, which I believe, since I've seen the power of prayer transform my dad, who was a good man. That's the hardest person to reach sometimes.
Yeah.
What would it do for this country if every Christian prayed for this country every day with that same passion?
The book is entitled Finding True Freedom from the White House to the World by our guest, Jenny Dent Brandt. Jenny, I guess, how did you find Christ? I mean, how did Christ find you?
Well,
Christ
actually,
always
he did,
knew where
he
you
did
were.
Find me.
Yeah.
I look back now and realize that God was knocking on the door of my heart as a 16-year-old girl. When we had moved to Washington, the rug was pulled out from underneath me. I went to a Young Life group, and they shared with me what I had never heard in my church, that Jesus wanted to be the Lord of my life, have a personal relationship with me, and that I needed a Savior. You know, I was on the plan to good works to get to heaven, and that's when I gave my life to him. And I began to grow in ways that my parents did not understand. I was mentored by Young Life leaders for several years.
Would as you look around the world and you say you've been to the Middle East and you went to Romania and other places where there are people struggling to come out of darkness, we hear in this country a lot about yearning, that those people are yearning for freedom. And I get that. But we're also a little bit concerned that they, I mean, how can I put this? I once had a dream. This is a true story, personal experience. Mm-hmm. I once had a dream, and in that dream, I was in the desert. And I was talking to a Native American in the Southwest. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about water. And in this dream, he said to me, the people want the fruits of water, but they do not want to go to the source of water, to the source of living water. And that to me sort of describes some of the things that are happening in the Middle East. Do you agree with that assessment? Or do you think there is hope that this yearning for freedom can blossom into a search for Christ?
What I've seen is as freedom comes in, usually the gospel comes in with it. Now, keep in mind that you can have an underground church where there is no freedom and it's growing. But when the church plants on the surface, where you see free enterprise comes in for some reason, freedom comes in and the gospel becomes more free behind it. Romania had a hard time coming to freedom because they elected some of their former communist leaders back in. They just could not make the transition.
Yeah.
And my dad helped them by bringing congressmen and senators and businessmen and bankers and all kinds of people to help them make that transition. When I was in the underground church in China, it was growing exponentially. I mean, I was absolutely amazed, but I also saw free enterprise coming in too. So it seems like one comes with the other.
Interesting.
You know, you grew up in and around the White House. What was that like? And after your dad gave his life to Christ, you know, and said, I'm gonna follow the Lord, was there a moment there where you saw, wow, godly character coming through, and sort of a memory that you have of your father there in the White House? Because I know you obviously were there.
What I remember is I was a model, and I would go downtown on assignment, and I would drop by to see him, because if I didn't go see him, I might not see him. I'd have to go to the White House. And I went into the East Wing, turned right to get into his office, and his office had changed. It wasn't his office anymore. He hadn't told us. Pat Nixon had his office. They had moved him to the EOB building. And so I never knew until later why that change was made. That's what saved him from being convicted in Watergate. They removed him from the inner circle, Haldeman did, because he saw him as a goody-two-shoes Boy Scout. He lost his limousine. He lost his great office, got another office. It was a demotion, but in the end, it saved him. And that picture of going into that office, and where's my dad's office? Oh, this is Pat Nixon's office. And then finding out later, that move was the reason he didn't go down in Watergate. He simply knew nothing about it.
I mean, how did he respond and say, hey, you're not in the White House anymore. You're out. You're somewhere else.
He was hurt.
He was, he was demoted. Nixon didn't demote him, but Haldeman and Ehrlichman controlled everything. And so, he was hurt, but in the end, he was He was going, you know, he was like, yes, I'm so glad this happened now. But you never know how God's going to use things later on. You know, it was a good thing in the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think your dad would say about where we are today in this country?
I believe more than ever, he used to always give political advice. He would be giving spiritual advice first this time. You'd be more like a Billy Graham.
Yeah.
This is not a time we need to removing the Ten Commandments. We don't need to be removing God from everything. This is a time we have so many problems from within and from without that we need to look to God's hand and his power and his help. We can't solve our problems. He would say today that our problems are more spiritual than they are political. But he'd give some political advice because he was the big picture man in that. He'd say, you know, don't spend what you don't have. Don't let the federal government get out of control. The federal government was created by the states, not vice versa. And people forget that. And we are getting more and more government control every day. And don't get away from what made this country the envy of the world. Our freedoms and our Judeo-Christian values have been a big part of that.
As I look at what's going on in the country, I see the Republican Party. There was a time in the 80s when the Republican Party stood firmly for, headed by Ronald Reagan at the time, but they stood firmly for what I would call Christian values. They stood for, they were in every way, they were pro-life, they were, it's in the platform, it's written into the platforms. They're a pro-life party, they're a family party, they're a marriage party, one man, one woman. I don't remember exactly how those things are worded in the discussions, but now there are powerful Republicans who are saying to people who want to stand for those things, who are saying, no, you can't, you don't make those issues because we have to get people who don't agree with us on those issues to vote for us. So you just talk about money and not spending so much, but you know, after you get elected, we'll find some ways for you to, you know, get some money for your districts. And I mean, it's just, it seems like that the party has some powers in the party are trying to pull the party away from those moral values that I think are so important to us as a nation. Do you see that happening? And what political advice would your dad give if he were giving political advice today?
You know, I think my dad would say, and I heard Jim DeMint say this from South Carolina, and I greatly admire him. He said the main pole of the Republican Party needs to be freedom. And then the other things that you and I hold dear need to fight for that, but we need to make the main pole freedom. And I think my dad would say that today because freedom is so important in us doing missions. It doesn't mean we back off of those stances that we believe in. More than ever, we need to stand for what we believe in. More Christians need to get involved in the Republican Party, realizing that only God can solve our problems. No party can solve the problems. And we need to show our life in our actions. We need to talk about our faith, but we need to show it in our lives. Because people aren't going to want to listen to what we have to say if our life doesn't show it.
You're listening to Today's Issues, and our guest is Jenny Dent Brandt. And the book that we're talking about today is Finding True Freedom from the White House to the World. This is a memoir of her father, Harry S. Dent, and by her, the daughter, and that's who we're talking to. And you have a ministry, I think, that your father started called Laity and Alive and Serving, right? Can you tell us really quickly what that is?
My dad formed that in 1985 after he worked with the Billy Graham Association and did several things in ministry. And what it was to wake and shake and teach the people in the pew who were just like him.
Wow.
And he did ministry all over the world, wrote 5 books, and I have taken over that ministry, and my husband and I do more with, we still work with Romania, but we work with the deaf because my husband is the son of deaf parents. And so we go places in the world where there are deaf people that have not heard the gospel or that have no freedoms because they don't have the rights because of their handicap. So it's kind of a dual purpose now that my husband and I have taken that over. So we go wherever the doors open.
I'm interested in your Romanian experience in dealing with the people of Romania. What did you find there?
They had hearts of gold. They had been through the fire. They had paid for their faith, and it's like God had just purified them through that. And we really learned more from them. I mean, we helped them. My dad helped them. Many people helped them. But it was as big a blessing to us as it was to them because what they taught us, you know, that you have to pay for your faith, that that is utmost important. You never know until you're faced with, oh, I might lose my job because of my faith. I might be beat because of my faith. You know, that changes your whole perspective on faith. You know, we're kind of sissies over here. So they taught us not to be sissies and to make our faith real. So we gained as much from the partnership as they did from all the people my dad brought to help. I greatly admire the Romanian people, especially the people that came out of the underground church.
I think of Romania. I don't know why, but there's something about Romania that draws my attention. When I hear people from Romania or people who have been to Romania, I associate Romania with a lot of Eastern European cultural things that I've read about over the years, probably more so than any other country for some reason. But circus performers, Romanian circus, and you know those kinds of things. But what would you say is today in Romania the spiritual condition of the country?
They are developing a middle class, and it's taken them quite a while to do that because they were totally impoverished by communism. Yeah. They had the worst communist leader. But today, the next generation does not appreciate what the people in the underground church went through and the richness of their faith. Yeah. So they would see maybe their children are starting to fall away, some of them. So they have to deal with that, and a lot of people are leaving Romania to go where the economy's better, so they lose a lot of their good people. It's still a rich country in many ways.
Yeah, you're talking about the underground church and what they went through. It never ceases to amaze me how strong underground churches are. I mean, when you have an underground church, that's a strong church.
Oh, it is a strong. You mean business.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I heard an Eastern European Christian, I don't think he was Romanian, say once that the church in that country was praying under cover of ice and snow in the winter in the woods. They were praying for the church in America, that the church in America would wake up before the freedom that we have in this country were lost.
And I hear the people in China in the underground church are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're saying we might be better off if we were under what they were under because the church would grow more.
Yeah.
And I would like to not go there, but you know what? They may be right. We don't pay a huge price for our faith.
And we're asking the question, why are our children leaving our church today? Why are our children falling away? Do you think maybe it's because we're not experiencing persecution?
That's a good question.
I think persecution does make the church grow. We saw that in the early church. We saw it in Romania. I've seen it in the underground church in China. Yeah. They estimate 100 million people in underground churches.
I'm not advocating persecution. I don't get me
I'm
wrong.
Not either. Oh, Marvin, and I don't want to lose my freedoms, but
I don't need it.
Yeah, I'm not advocating persecution, but I would just like to repeat what that brother said from East Europe. American church, wake up before we lose what we have. If we don't wake up, we'll lose it.
Mm-hmm. I'm part of the Let's Wake Up and helping people to wake up. In my book, I think my book will wake you up to more eternal values. It's not about our prosperity. It's about the future.
And that book, one more time, is?
Finding True Freedom, From the White House to the World, written by Jenny Dent Brandt, and it is the memoir of her father, Harry Dent. And how can they get a hold of you? You have a website?
Yes, www.jennybrandt.com tells you all the places you can get the book. Of course, Amazon, it's on Amazon, but it'll tell you all the places you can get the book.
So it's jennybrandt.com. Okay, GINNYBRANT.com.
That's right.
Okay, Jenny, are you going to ever run for office? So people can...
My husband wants me to, but
you need to.
I know too much about it.
Go for it.
See, you have the knowledge.
I have the knowledge.
And you have the spiritual foundation.
The experience.
Right.
I do.
And you have
You're
the experience.
Right.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yes.
And run in a district where I can vote for you.
So. Oh, okay.
All right.
You may have to move, though.
Okay. Well, all right. Jenny Dent has been our guest. Finding True Freedom. It's available in Christian bookstores everywhere, and I guess wherever books are sold. J- Jenny, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.